Good morning. Happy New Year. Just before we kick off the service proper, just need to let you know what's happening this morning and for the next few Sundays. You're not able to sing this morning. The latest regulation from the state government, which Judy and Lynn, as part of the COVID team, wrestled with late last week, says that only one person can sing. So that's c'est moi. Because of the changes, we won't be having morning tea again, and so on. We still need to observe the usual things like social distancing and keeping some space between us, all that kind of thing. So it's a bit of a challenge. We don't know how long it will go for. The Uniting Church Synod Office hasn't issued a further instruction just yet, so we're relying very much on what the state government has instructed on the 30th of December. So that's enough about that. Now that said, I just want to say something about worshiping, because you know, we all love to sing, myself included. And I find it particularly difficult when I'm in a place where I'm the only one that can sing. And I've sung by myself lots of times over the years, and I love doing it, but you know, there's a sense in me that kind of says, well, this isn't quite right. But I know that when we're at home sitting quietly, or whether we're here in this building meeting together, that God is present by His Spirit all the time. And we worship Him simply by attending to Him, if you like, being still and present before God. And there are some stimuluses we have this morning, Trevor on the keyboard and my guitar, and my voice, and allow the music and the songs, and the words will be on the screen, so if you find yourself humming and tapping your foot, I'm not going to tell you not to. But that is part of our worship as well, and our worship of God is how we attend to God at any given time, any moment of any day. And finally, I just want to throw in as well that in the book of Acts says this, the Christians in the early church in chapter 2 devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And in Hebrews, we're reminded in chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. So my encouragement to all of us this morning, and for however long we're going to be living with what we're living with at present, don't give up meeting together. There is enormous value in doing that. And sometimes it's all too easy to step back and say, well, I might watch at home this morning. And I understand that. And it's okay to do that as well. But there is something about the people of God meeting together. I'd like to read a prayer for us. Kind of a greeting and a welcome prayer. And again, welcome to those of you who are in the building. Welcome to those of you who are watching online. This is a prayer I received last night, but only read this morning, so it's hot off the press. It comes from the Center for Action and Contemplation in the United States, Father Richard Rohr, from his daily meditation for the 31st of January. Sorry, 31st of January. Would you believe the 1st of January? In a world of fault lines and fractures. We stand in a place where opposites come together, awaiting the birth of what is to come. If you are doubting, welcome. If you are healing, welcome. If you are angry at injustice, welcome. If you are afraid, welcome. If you are joyful, welcome. If you are longing to belong, welcome. However you are feeling, whatever you are going through, welcome. God's generous rhythm of life, death, resurrection, moving in and through all things, the very breath and source of the cosmos itself. Our pathways converge and continue, each one of us a catalyst for loving action. We, a community of saints, breathe with us. Any time while Trevor and I are playing and singing, if you want to stand up, please stand up. If you want to kneel, kneel. Or just remain on your seats. Heavens declare the glory of God, and all of the world will join the praise His wonders proclaim. The oceans and skies lift up their voice, and all He has made will rise to bless the King of all kings. Adore Him, let us adore Him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Eternity's King is coming again. Though all of the earth may fade away, His truth will remain. Adore Him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Come and behold Him. Bow down before Him. Jesus Christ is the of all praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, You are worthy of all praise. Let us adore Him, let us adore Him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Come and behold Him. Bow down before Him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. is the Lord. Lord Jesus, you are the Christ, you are the Holy One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you reign over all. We praise you, Lord, for your presence in our lives, journeying with us moment by moment and day by day. We praise you for the freedom that is ours because of what you have done for us. And what you have revealed to us by your life, your death, your resurrection, and your ascension. We praise you for the hope that is ours always and forever. And so we praise you, Lord. We give you thanks. We bow down before you this morning and say thank you. Amen. One of the people who embraced Jesus, recorded by Luke, after Mary's 40 days of cleansing, and they brought Jesus to the temple to commit him as their firstborn to God. One of the witnesses to that moment was a guy named Simeon. And there's a lovely image where he took Jesus in his arms and held him. And he prayed these words. And I wonder if in this quiet moment, I'd like us to say it together. I think we're allowed to speak together. But imagine yourself holding not just the infant Jesus, but imagine, if you will, the Spirit of God inside of you, and take hold of that, but more so that the Spirit of God inside of us has hold of each one of us. Let's pray together. At last, Lord, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised, for with my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have made ready for every people, a light to show truth to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people Israel. Amen. Now, I don't quite know how we're going to do this, but a greeting of peace is always nice. Would you please greet each other in some way? You can stand up if you'd like to do that, and, you know, turn around and swivel, and peace be with you, people of God. That's the quietest greeting of peace I've ever heard. That's good. We're going to prepare for communion. No, we're not. the scripture reading, Leon, thank you. Leon's going to read to us from Luke's Gospel.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you all. The reading, as David has said, comes from Luke chapter 2, 41 to 52, and it's the translation from the Message. They found him in the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents travelled to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast. When it was over and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbours. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. The next day, They found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." He said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here, dealing with the things of my father?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So they went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things dearly, deep within herself. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I love creation. Can you hear what's going on outside? That's a fickle magpie out there. It stopped as soon as I mentioned it. There it goes. And a few years back, there was a realization for me, and I think I might have said this before, that looking at creation, we can see the hand of God at work in everything, in one another, in magpies singing outside and rejoicing in a song of praise, and when the birds sing first thing in the morning or last thing at night, or the crickets chirp at night time, they're pulsating with the aliveness of God. Beautiful. We live in a world that is filled with beauty. This is a song to take us, prepare us for communion. You know it incredibly well. And also to bring our offerings to God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Whisper, praise God, praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God who's given to us in abundance, and we bring to you, Lord, in response to your love and your gifts to us, these offerings this morning, also the offerings that have been given to the church online, and pray, Lord, that you will enable us to use them to your glory. And we thank you, Lord, beyond our own giving, we praise you and thank you for the gift of Jesus, for his broken body, his shed blood, as we celebrate communion this morning. We do so with thanks and praise. Amen.
My friends, history tells us in the year 563 of the Christian era, St. Columba set out with 12 companions from the north of Ireland. He did this in a coracle. He didn't know, if you know what a coracle is, those round boats. He didn't know where the currents of the sea would take him. But he believed that God had a mission for him. History also tells us that Columba was, and his companions, they were eminently successful. This being the first Sunday of the new year, I guess we could feel a little like St. Columba. We don't know what the future holds for us. And our faith tells us that as we put our trust in God, we will find his presence and his care for us. So it's good that we come to share communion on this day, reaffirming our love for the Lord and our trust in him. As we come to share in this special time, let's join together in the prayer that our Lord taught us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Jesus was one who, it seems, was always the guest. In the homes of Peter and Jairus, Martha and Mary, Joanna and Susanna, he was always the guest. At the meal tables of the wealthy, where he pled the case of the poor, he was always the guest. Upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger, he was always the guest. But here, at this table, he is the host. Those who wish to serve him must first be served by him. Those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. Those who would wash his feet must first let him make them clean. For this is the table where the Lord intends us to be nourished. This is a time when Christ can make us new. So come, you who hunger and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus Christ, who has sat at our tables, now invites us to be guests at his. What we do here now, we do in imitation of what Christ first did. To his followers in every age, Jesus gave an example and command rooted in the experience he shared with his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. On the night in which he was betrayed, and as they were sitting at a meal, Jesus took a piece of bread and broke it. He gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later, after they had eaten, he took a cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Drink of this, all of you, to remember me." So we do as Jesus did. We take this bread, the bread that was broken. We take the cup. We remember that his blood was shed for us. And so as we take them, we come in thanksgiving. Or as we look upon them and as we receive them, so it might be that we will understand that these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Before we share together, let's have a prayer. Lord Jesus, for us you were born. For us you healed, preached, taught, and showed the way to heaven. For us you were crucified. For us after death you rose again. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room. Send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us the means to discover your healing, your forgiveness, and your making us whole. Amen.
Amen.
We now come to the time of sharing together. With the helpers, please come forward.
Broken for me, broken for you, the body of Jesus,
given, please.
Broken. broken for you. Come to my table and with me dine. Eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Broken for me, broken for you. The body of Jesus, broken for you. This is my body, given for you. Eat it, remembering I died for you.
We come in thanksgiving as we take this bread. And now we share in the cup.
Broken for me, broken for you. The body of Jesus, broken for you. This is my blood I shed for you. For your forgiveness, making body of Jesus, broken for you.
And in thanksgiving, we take the cup as we remember that his blood was shed for us. We are reminded by the good apostle that as often as we have shared in this meal, we have shown forth the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. We're going to now share in our pastoral prayer, and I'd like to do something a little different today from what perhaps is normally done. This being the first Sunday of the new year, there's a are looking forward. And yet in many ways it's our looking forward is damped down by the worries of the COVID epidemic that's upon us, and we constantly hear about this. But it seemed to me that this world is faced by greater sickness than just an epidemic through the COVID crisis. There's need for healing throughout our world, and so I found this prayer that I felt might be good for us to use, a prayer of healing. It's one that gives opportunity for you to pray in certain parts of the prayer for people you know that you feel might have been referred to as I've gone through the various people who suffer sickness today. It may well be that you just pray for the same person all the time because that person is on your mind for the need of healing. But I ask you to share with me now in this special prayer. Let's pray. O Christ our Lord, as in times past, not all the sick and suffering found their way to your side, but had to have their hands taken, or their bodies carried, or their names mentioned. So we, confident of your goodness, bring others to you. As in times past you looked at the faith of friends and let peace and healing be known, look on our faith, even our little faith, and let your kingdom come. We name before you those for whom pain is the greatest problem, who are remembered more for their distress than their potential, who at night cry, "Oh my God, I wish it were morning," and in the morning cry, "Oh my God, I wish it were night." So we pray for those people. Lord Jesus Christ, lover of all, bring healing, bring peace. We name before you those whose problem is psychological, those haunted by the nightmares of their past or the spectres of their future, those whose minds are shackled to neuroses, depression, or fears, who do not know what is wrong or what to pray. So we pray for them. We name before you those in whose experience light has turned to darkness as the end of a life or the breaking of a relationship leaves them stunned in their souls and silent in their conversation, not knowing where to turn or whom to turn to or whether life has any purpose anymore. So we pray for them. And others whose troubles we do not know or whose names we would not say aloud, we mention now in the silence which you understand. O Lord, hear our prayers. Lord God, you alone are skilled to know the cure for every sickness and every soul. If by our lives your grace may be known, then in us, through us, and if need be, despite us, let your kingdom come. Honour all who tend the sick, counsel the distressed, sit with the dying, or advance medical research. We ask your blessing that in caring for your people, they may meet and serve their Lord. For those who in this land administer the agencies of health and welfare, we ask your guidance that in all they do, human worth may be valued and the service of human need may be resourced. This we ask in the name of him whose flesh and blood have made all God's children special. Amen.
I will add my well, Happy New Year greetings. It seems a little not right at the moment, doesn't it? But it's not about a Happy New Year. It's about a happy year. If we can make it, in spite of everything, a happy year, we will be doing very well. I've had a really, really busy time over the last month. I can't believe how little time ago some of my heavy pressures were. And so I was very conscious of the message for today. So I constantly talked to God and kind of said, please, little thoughts here and there, and I hope I've put them together in a way that honours God and empowers you for the year that is ahead. I title this message the Aha Moment, that, and I will go further into that in a moment, but, you know, as we look at this new year, we do ask, what will it hold? It's already, within 2 days, been tipped upside down. We cannot know what it will be. A fair chance it'll be the same as it was the last two, as COVID continues to make its presence felt and the shadow of fear hovers over us. But then, it may be the year that COVID is successfully managed and we can embrace a new normal. Whatever it is going to be, we must remind ourselves that our great God has us in the palm of his hand, and whatever happens, he is our strength and assurance that we can face whatever confronts us with courage and assurance and peace. However, at the moment, it's like that new school book waiting to be filled. A friend of mine reminded me this week of this chorus of a lovely old hymn. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives. I think these words are great words of encouragement as we deal with these uncertain times. Because he lives, all fear is gone. So we can either enter this year from a negative place, we're all doomed, or we can embrace the year with the expectation that God will do great things in us and through us as we witness to our community. Because if we don't expect that, we'll never find it. So I titled my message for today, as I said before, the Aha Moment. That moment when you have an epiphany, an illuminating realisation or discovery, often resulting in a personal feeling of elation, awe, or wonder. That moment when you suddenly feel that you understand or become conscious of something that is very important to you, something that suddenly becomes clear. So as I was reflecting on the the Christmas story with these thoughts in my mind, I actually became conscious of the aha moments for the players in the story. The second chapter of Luke is the Jesus story. He takes us from the angel visiting a young woman right through to a young man being baptized in the River Jordan. And I found it quite interesting to read the story through those eyes. I reminded myself that these are all ordinary people going about their daily tasks, but they have an extraordinary encounter with God. God speaks into the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. Firstly, Mary, just a young girl, maybe as young as 13, to whom an angel appears and suggests that she will have a baby, even though she's not married. Was this a dream? Was it real? Whatever it was frightening in its implication, and she was troubled. You know what the angel said? Do not be afraid. And her response, instantly almost, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. That instills awe in me that she could respond like that. And then the shepherds out in the field just doing their job, looking after the sheep and probably just sort of gazing heavenwards because the sheep were quite content. Suddenly the whole sky lights up and strange voices tell of the birth of a special baby in a stable. They are terrified. And what does the angel say? Do not be afraid. And what did they do? They just left their sheep, went to see for themselves, and then told everybody else they met about it. And then Simeon and Anna, a devout believer and a prophet, old in years, and they spent much time in the temple. Soon after his birth, Jesus was presented in the temple, as was the Jewish custom. Simeon and Anna, in their old years, had their moment of revelation. They just knew this baby was the promise of God fulfilled. They had waited so long in prayerful expectancy. Now was the time. This was their moment. What elation for those two dear people. Luke moves us on then to Jesus being about 12 years old. And you know, I've often wondered and made up my own stories about what he'd been doing in those years. I actually think that Jesus probably was very much like any other Jewish or Australian boy. Fully human, he experienced life in all its ordinariness. I well remember when our boys were young, maybe 10, 11 or so, in a time when they could be safe as they explored and made sense of their world, often losing track of time and coming home late because they had been exploring the bushland behind our house, and it was pretty rough bushland behind our house. And one day, even confessing, they'd gone right down to the bank of the Brisbane River. Can you imagine my reaction? The Brisbane River is a big river. I am sure that Jesus enjoyed exploring the countryside around Nazareth, learning about people and places. I imagine he also caused some moments of concern for his mother when maybe he was late for dinner, or he frustrated Joseph when he didn't get something quite right in the workshop. I'm sure he helped look after his siblings, and he ran free when his chores were finished. But I also suspect that he might be like one of our grandchildren, One of those children who quietly absorb what is going on around them and constantly adding to their understanding of the world in which they live. As our reading said, it was customary for Jewish families to travel to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. As Jesus matured over all of those years, I imagine his yearly visits to the temple would have become more and more important. Maybe developing a sense of purpose which was as yet not revealed, but which was being nurtured during those quiet years in Nazareth. Now that he is 12, though, he is regarded as a man. He can sit with the men at the feet of the teachers. Ordinary people who normally didn't have access to the classrooms where young priests were taught, on that time could come and question them. I am sure Jesus would have eagerly made use of this opportunity to listen and to learn, to add what he was already acquiring in his own mind. So totally absorbed, he forgot about his natural family and they left without him. That wasn't unusual because they normally went up in large family groups and he could have been with somebody else, but he just wasn't. When they returned for him, his response to his parents' concern was, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Was this his epiphany? Maybe even Mary and Joseph had an epiphany. The scripture simply says, they returned home. As Jesus grew, he increased in wisdom and favour with God and people. Now, we don't hear any more about Jesus. There's a whole gap there until he presents at the age of 30 to John the Baptist to be baptised. The message actually heads chapter 3 as a baptism of life change. Jesus' final illumination. "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And from then on, Jesus begins his ministry. So Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, even Jesus, ordinary people who had an extraordinary encounter with God and could never be the same again. What does that have to say to us as we are entering 2022? It says to me that in the ordinariness of our life, we have a friendship with one who knows exactly what it means to be human, who knows what it means to be facing a new year with all its uncertainties, because he has known the worries, frustrations, hurts and pains of human existence. One who says, "Do not be afraid." It also says to me that we must be alert and expectant that God will speak into the ordinariness of our life and give us purpose and direction. Do you remember the story of Moses? Moses was tending sheep. He wasn't a prophet, a priest, or a king. He was a shepherd. Good, valuable work, but pretty ordinary. And then something extraordinary happens. A voice from heaven, through a burning bush that's not actually burning. The voice calls Moses by name. And in an instant, Moses was interested, very scared, and amazed. Well, who wouldn't be? The voice was God's. And God assures this ordinary man that he wants him to do an incredible thing: lead the people of God out of Egyptian bondage and captivity into deliverance and freedom. Moses asks a question we have all asked: "Who, me?" He was really saying, "You've got the wrong person. You took a wrong turn somewhere, God. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't take wrong turns. God knows exactly what God is doing. And God's answer is intriguing. He doesn't list Moses' qualifications. He simply states, I will be with you. In other words, doesn't matter who you are, your background and pedigree are immaterial to me. I will be with you. Do not be afraid. So it seems that as we embrace this new year, we need to be alert to the holiness in the ordinary and expect that God will continue to reveal himself to us. There is no age limit when it comes to God's revelations. I believe that we in this church are at a crucial point in our witness in this community. And it is going to require courage and faith and the desire to share the Christmas message of hope, joy, peace, and love with our community in new and creative ways. God has a task for each one of us as we seek to be God's presence in our community. What this looks like in 2022 and beyond is actually up to us. Each one of us must be alert to the possibility that God might indeed break into yours, my ordinariness. We must be alert to the possibility of our own aha moment, and we must be prepared to respond. If we do not expect, we will not hear, and we will lose the moment. Remember those empty pages? May we look back this time next year and be amazed at how they read, simply because we said, here I am, Lord. Amen.
Just for a minute, I'd invite us all to spend a little moment or two in silence and just to use the question David Pryor asks often, what are you taking home today? One of the things I'm taking home is, which I hope I scribbled down correctly, Marge, is this: in the ordinariness of our lives, we have a friendship with one who knows what it's like to be human. And I would add to that, we have a friendship with one who dwells within us completely in every aspect of our humanity, the good and the not so good. And that's affirmed for me by what Paul wrote in Colossians. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him, and in him, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's absolutely everything, even at the times that it doesn't look like it.
Who can know the mind of our Creator? Who can speak of wonders yet unseen? Who can reach the height of understanding to play the notes of wisdom's melody? Who has weighed the
dust of every mountain, who has walked the mysteries of the deep, who has laid the earth on its foundation, and who conducts the waves upon the sea. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. So glorious and true. I stand in awe. I stand in awe. You have seen the end from the beginning. You have been before the world began. You have reached to me within my darkness, and in the light of mercy now I see. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. So I stand in awe. I stand in awe. Please stand. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. So glorious and true. I stand in awe. I stand in awe. Can know the mind of our Creator.
As we go from here, may 2022 be a year of increased riches of grace, hearing His word more clearly, knowing His heart more deeply, resting in His love more fully, trusting His care more completely, walking His pathway more peacefully, knowing His presence more intimately, blessed by His goodness more abundantly. Amen.